I want you to see this verse 5 particularly because there are so many different translations. I wanted to use the word contend instead of compete. I think sometimes often within the church realm when we find ourselves using words like compete, we really look at that as competition. And the sad thing is that we spend a whole lot of time trying to outdo one another. And so I wanted to look at the different translations and kind of see what other word had those authors used to convey the same message that I believe that God would have for us today. And that word in the other translation would be contend. Amen. I want to share a story with you. It wasn't long ago, and some of you know this story, but maybe you don't know all the details. But here I am in a situation where, man, I just can't believe that what's happening to me is happening to me. Have you ever felt that way? The things that are going on in your life, it just, this ain't supposed to be happening right now, right? You all understand where I'm coming? I'm talking about, man, I'm in a situation where I admitted to you all that I quit a job but didn't have a job, but I felt because of God's grace, man, certainly he was going to position me back into a place where I can essentially take care of my family. Okay, we ended up moving out of the house we had, and our justification for moving, among many other things, was one, to move out here in this particular neighborhood because it would, in our minds, my wife and I, give us a better and greater opportunity to raise our children because of the school districts. Amen? So I was doing things that based on that. Unfortunately, the house that we lived in was like the Brady Bunch house when we moved out. And what I mean by that is that there were no updates. I mean, everything was like, wow. And you would have thought that I would have been content with that, but yet it was a Brady Bunch house. So I'm only sharing with you because I wasn't really complaining about my situation. I was venting. Y'all know what's the difference between venting and complaining, right? Okay. Y'all feeling me? There is a difference. I was venting. I wasn't complaining. I was venting. And I couldn't understand what was going on. And many of you know, I know my brother remembered because he helped me. And I was like, man, you know, I got this truck and this truck ain't working right. And I can only do 20 miles an hour on the highway in this particular truck. He said, oh, man, go take it over to the spot. I took it up to the spot. He's like, man, I don't know what to tell you. There ain't nothing we can do with this thing. So now I got a Brady Bunch house. I got a truck that barely run and I ain't got no job. Now I'm thankful that my wife ain't like, hey, man, what you going to do today? Because she could have had that kind of attitude, right? She could have taken on that attitude the whole time. I'm sitting there trying to figure out, Lord, what are you doing with me? All I want to do is serve you, Lord. All I want to do is give this message. Let people know what it is that you would want them to know. Let them know who you are. And I'm struggling with this thing because I can't understand, like, Lord, how are you going to cause me to do these things you want me to do but not equipping me with the things I feel that I need in order to do what I need to do? But then the Lord showed me that the scripture said, hey, my grace is sufficient for thee. Amen. And so I was like, oh, all right, well, let me just back off a little bit. And so here I am now in a situation where not only am I in this house, I'm paying rent. And I'm like, the rent that I'm paying, I'm like, man, I could be buying a house. And I'm like, wow. But the issue is I'm unemployed, you all. How am I going to buy a house? I ain't got no money. You know, we barely making ends meet. The great thing, I never had to ask anybody for anything. Not that I was too prideful to do that. I just wasn't in a position to need to do that. And so now I want to put a pin right there because I was just at a place where I didn't understand what God was doing. And so while I try to use terms to clean it up like venting, I had to get to a place of recognizing that all I was doing is complaining. Amen. And so one thing I want to share with us all today, and if you're not hearing me, then I'm a priest of myself. Amen. I want us to get to a place in life, man, where today we realize that we are going to stop complaining. Amen. We're going to stop complaining. And we're going to start contending. We're going to stop complaining, and we're going to start contending. If you notice, we're contending with these horses. And that's the premise I want you to get, particularly in verse 5 as we get there. Are you all with me? All righty. I didn't want to show that to you, but this is how I felt. Technology is always something. Give me a second. It'll come back up. Anyway, you all are doing all right this morning? Good, 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 good. Sometimes you got to go through these things. We can sing the song again if you want to. Here's the deal. I mentioned that we want to stop complaining and yet start contending. The problem is that I will have these episodes in my life where I just couldn't believe that all these things kept happening to me. And this is where I found myself. Anybody ever been like this? Like, you just like, man, I can't believe that this is happening. And I would go in the other room because I didn't want my wife and kids to kind of see how I was feeling. And I would say, hey, Donna, you all right in there? Because she was feeling the same kind of way. but we don't want each other to know it, right? This is how I was feeling. It's like every time I move forward and try to do some things in life, something happened that made me feel this way. Now, you all can sit there and act like you don't have any issues. As I said before, I'll just preach to myself if necessary. But this is the way that I felt. The great thing is, you notice about this thing, God will stand you back up. Now, the issue is now we got to stay up. We got to stop falling down every time something happens in our life, particularly when we don't understand why it's happening the way that it's happening. Amen? Now, let's go to Jeremiah. So here's a guy, man, that I found incredible throughout the scripture. And I don't liken myself to him, but I see some similarities. And I think that as you are progressing your ministry, you're going to see some as well. First of all, Jeremiah, for those who don't know, was often called the weeping prophet because of his sorrow over the persistent message of God's judgment prophesied to the nation of Judah. Could you imagine being in his shoes, always having to go and deliver a message, but it's always a message of judgment? It's not a message of prosperity. It's not a message of hang on in there. It's a message of if you don't get yourself together, God is coming. Amen? Can you imagine being in that place? Now, here's a guy who served for more than 40 years. This guy had a difficult life. I'm talking 40 years in ministry. Sometimes we struggle with 2 months worth of ministry. 2 months worth of ministry, you know, as soon as you jump into the ministry that you say God has called you to, oftentimes you want to get right back out of it because things don't seem to be going the way that you perceive that they should be going. Can I preach in here today? Here's an issue. The message of repentance was delivered at a temple that were not received. Could you imagine this? We're talking about God had called you to go and give a message to a people in your own place that's not being received. Who wants to sign up for that? Who's going to sign up to go and give a message to the people that they know are going to be rejected? How many of you signed up for ministry knowing that you were going to be rejected? Nobody signed up for that, but yet, you know, this is what God will essentially cause to happen. God will do this. Here's another guy. Look, his hometown plotted against him, and he endured much persecution. It's one thing when you know that the enemy is going to reject you, but what do you do when your own people reject you? What do you do when the people that God put closest to you, your people in your own home, they don't want to have anything to do with you? They don't want to hear the message that you're saying. What do you do at that point? Do you throw in the towel? Do you start crying? What do you do? I'm talking about Jeremiah. Here's the guy, man. And to make matters worse, look here. I wouldn't be able to function in ministry without having a support system in place. So whether you are married or not married, you need to understand that God didn't even allow him to get married. Could you imagine? I'm talking to the married folk or those who've been married. Man, you know what it's like to have that support system. Well, hopefully when you go home, at least if anybody else is on your team, at least they're on your team. Amen. Or whomever that individual may be. Now, here's a guy who didn't have nothing. Nobody. He wasn't able to go home with anybody. I'm talking about a guy who continually preached the word of God faithfully. And he didn't concern about numbers either. Why? Because he preached to all these people. And guess what? Only had 2 converts. How motivating is that? Lord, I'm studying all day. I'm reading all day. I'm going out here ministering all day. And you mean to tell me all you're going to give me is 2? What about Peter? Peter had 3. Y'all ain't failing me this morning. Wow. But here's what I love. I love the fact, and it's twofold. I love the fact that even as Jeremiah, I can recognize something that God is doing. And even as the people, I recognize that first and foremost, God is absolutely trustworthy. And he always keeps his promises. Amen. God's grace triumphs over sin and judgment when the people repent and turn to him. That's where I take solace. I know that God is a faithful God, amen? And all I want to do is do what God wants of me. I want to get to the end of my race and God say, Perry, job well done. Why? Because you've done what I asked you to do. Now, if you want to turn and repent and do that, then that's on you. But I gave you the message. I delivered the mail, amen? Now, it's up to you to receive it. This is where Jeremiah was at. This is where they are. I want to take a look at these passages of scripture, and we're just going to walk it out. It won't take long. It's only 5 verses. I'll be done when I'm finished. Here we are. Let's just really look at this thing. Let's break this thing down. Here it is. It says, righteous are you, O Lord. See, this guy is slick. Jeremiah is smooth with it because he can't just go to God any old kind of way, right? When you come to God, you better come correct. Amen. Because if not, God is going to pull one of them things. Hey, wait a minute. Where were you? Remember he talked to Job, but God is so smooth with it. But look at Jeremiah, man. Watch this. Righteous are you, O Lord, when I complain to you. Lord, I'm letting you know I'm getting ready to say something. You might not like it, but I've got to say it anyway. Yet I would plead my case before you. He says, look, why does the wicked prosper? And why do all those who are treacherous, they thrive? Let me break that down to you because it might have went over your head. What he's saying there to God is, hey, God, you normally make some very good choices in life, but let me talk to you about some of your latest decisions. That's what he's actually talking to God. That's what he's saying to God. He's saying, hey, Lord, look here, wait a minute. Why does the wicked seem to prosper? Have you ever asked that question? Why is everybody else seeing that? I mean, these are individuals who are living devastating lives. These are individuals who they curse you. They do all kinds of things. These are the guys we talked about this morning where, you know, I'm on my way to church and I'm getting ready to come and praise you and honor you. And they're out there watching a Cadillac, ain't thinking nothing about you. Why are they thriving? And yet I'm the one that's sitting here like trying to figure out what's going on. Lord, I'm the one that does everything. Wait a minute. Talk to me, God. Let me know what's going on. I barely got to church today, and here this guy is with this brand new Cadillac. Don't even love you. Don't honor you. Don't worship you. And I barely made it here. I'm just so glad you all that the Lord allowed me to get here, even in that car that I own. Amen. That's the place that we have to be being. We're all stressed out about bills, and man, they ain't put a dime in the church. Lord, you got to explain something to me because something ain't right. Something's not right, Lord. These people are upset with the Lord. And we can sit here and act cute all day long, but guess what? We are the same way. We get upset. It's like, hey, wait a minute, Lord. How the unqualified on the job get the raise? And I'm sitting here coming to work every day. I'm the first one to get here. I'm the last one to leave, but yet I can't get no more money. But yet this person right here don't even love you, don't even honor you, don't even worship you, yet they getting everything that is that you can give them. Preaching to myself this morning, but that's okay. That's okay. This is the place that these people find themselves in. These people are upset because it looks like the saints are sad while the sinners are actually celebrating. Amen? That's what it looks like to them. So, Lord, yes, I'm getting ready to complain to you because something is not right. I don't want to say you ain't right, oh Lord, because you are righteous, but listen to my complaint. Wow. Let's go on to verse 2. He say, look, you plant them, and they take root, they grow, and produce fruit. So you are near in their mouth and far from their heart. Jeremiah is saying on behalf of the people, he's saying, Lord, you planted them. He's saying they got roots because of you. And guess what? All of that is true. How many of you understand that anything that you got is because God gave it to you? Amen. It ain't a person in here that can say that it can attribute anything that they have to anything other than God. Whether you saved or unsaved, everything that you have right now is because of God. Do you believe that? Yeah. And so I'm trying to figure out, Lord, why is it that these people are getting whatever it is to do? You need to understand that, first of all, you, much like them, anything that you have is because of God. You didn't pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get it. No, God had to do that for you. Amen. You had to call on a God, and that's what happens. Some people, man, we tend to look at it the wrong way. Now, here's an individual, or here are people who is like, man, they say all the right things, they do all the right things. You go up and you talk to them. It's like, Lord, they are near in your mouth and they're far from your heart. These are the people, when you see them, they putting on the front. Every time you see them, what do they say? You ask them, hey, how you doing, brother? How you doing, sister? What do they say? I'm blessed and highly favored. Amen. And the same person who, when I asked, are you blessed and highly favored, went out to the car and cussed me out. Same, y'all seen them people. Some of them right up in the church. The same people, blessed, I'm highly favored, and so on. They, see, they know all the church lingo. They know how to say all the things they need to say, but guess what? They talk like they love God, but guess what? It's not right. When you talk to these individuals, you'll see that they have the right talk, but the wrong heart. They say all the right things. You understand what I'm saying? But their heart is all far from it. Y'all know people like that? When you talk to them, man, it sounds good, right? Makes you want to look at your own life. But when you look at what they do, nothing ever really lines up. Am I making any sense? Yeah. Watch this. He said, but you, oh Lord, you know me. You see me. You test my heart towards you. Here's the deal. Lord, I come to Sunday school every Sunday. I go to Bible study every Wednesday night. I pray. I'm on my job. I'm ministering. I got a text message ministry. I got a women's ministry. I got men's fellowship. I got all kinds of stuff going on. So you know me, Lord. So why can't I get it in like everybody else is getting in? Y'all understand what I'm saying? Lord, what is it about me what am I doing wrong? I can't believe that I'm doing wrong. We need to stop asking, what are we doing wrong? And start beginning to question, Lord, what am I doing right? That's the place we need to be in. Lord, you know me. You know what I'm doing. You see how faithful I am. You see how, but because you know me, oh Lord, why am I still struggling? Why does the person that's sitting across from me who don't even love you is getting everything that is that they want in life, and yet, and they're a lot further along, but yet here I am and I don't have anything. I pay tithes every Sunday. This is the mindset. This is the mentality. This is what's going on with the people. But then, man, it got really, really tricky for me. Here it is, these individuals, if you continue to read on, they made a very unusual request. Look at this. It says, pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and set them apart for the day of slaughter. Man, this is the Christians asking God to go and kill the people. Can y'all believe that? Don't sit there and shake your head like you don't know. Sometimes we even ask God to do things to other people that come against us. Amen. See that? We had to learn it. There's a difference between praying for somebody and praying on somebody. Amen. That's a total difference. Lord, do what you need to do with these individuals. Pull them out and kill them, Lord. This is the Christian talking. This is the Christian talking. Can't believe that. See, the problem is with their theology. The problem is with their theology. They come to the conclusion, everybody, that the blessing that was meant for them has somehow landed on the doorstep of somebody else. The blessing that was meant for them has somehow landed on the doorstep of somebody else. I want to tell you one thing. You never should be jealous of what God is doing in somebody else's life. Amen. You can never be jealous of what God has for you. He has for you. And you should never worry about what it is that God is doing at somebody else's house. In fact, I'm so glad about God when he sends the mail. When God sends the mail, Amazon may mess up and UPS may mess up, but God ain't never delivered the wrong mail to the wrong house. Amen. He ain't never did that before. What God has for us, he has for us. That's our name stamped up there. God is going to give us what we want. I don't have to no longer covet and try to wonder why this person got this or why this person got that. No, what God has for us is for us. And in fact, I need to thank God because, man, look here. If God is blessing my neighbor, then the reality is he's in the neighborhood. And my blessing might be on its way. So if God begins to bless you and I'm sitting on this row, he might be coming. Here I come. Because he's coming this way, everybody. All I'm going to do is position myself to go and get what it is that God has for me. Why? Because God is doing it. And I don't no longer have to worry about, well, man, you got a nice little 15 out there. You know, you got this going on and you got this and look at your shoes and, you know, look at your wife and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But that's what we do. That's exactly what we do. God wants to know, look here, we got to stop this. I'm almost done, you all. Then they get to a place where it shifts just a little bit. They ask a question. How long will the land mourn and the grass of every field wither? For the evil of those who dwell in the beasts and the birds are swept away because they said he would not see our latter end. This is the problem. This is the problem that I have to speak on. We see this problem, and this is somehow permeated in our country, and it kind of spewed its way into our church. Our society, our church, our country believes that God judges a nation because of the wickedness of sinners. God would judge a nation because of the wickedness for sinners. First and foremost, if you want to be honest, a sinner ain't got no other choice but to sin because they don't have the Holy Spirit in them. Amen. You ain't got no other choice but to sin because the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell within you. Now, as Christians, yeah, we have the propensity to sin, but guess what? We don't, because we know that God is in us. I need for us to understand that God does not judge a nation because of the sin of the sinner. He judges a nation because of the wickedness of the so-called saints. Y'all missed that. First and foremost, you need to realize that judgment comes at the house of the Lord. That's where judgment begins, in the house of the Lord. It's the saints that's the problem. It's the saints that's the one shacking up. It's the saints that's the one that's smoking and doing all the drugs and drinking and carrying on. It's the saints that's the one watching pornography and can't get out of it. It's the saints that need to be delivered. It's the saints that are coming here homosexual and doing all other kind of things that the Bible clearly speaks against, but yet they're still allowed to do it. It ain't about the sinners. You know, it's about what the saints are doing. Man, when a sinner does something, it doesn't bother me because that's in their nature to do. We should have more problems with what the saints are doing in the church. Because when a sinner does it, that's what they're supposed to do because that's who they are. When the so-called saints are supposed to be doing what they need to do, that's when it should be a problem. Why? Because we claim to be righteous, but we don't want to do the right thing. Amen. That's the problem that we have. God ain't judging a nation because of what they do. He's judging it because of what we do. We represent the church. It's the saints that are living immoral. So much so that, well, I'm going to just stay in my lane and I don't want to judge and I can't judge. Where would that come from? When the Bible is clear on what it says about sin. Wow. The great thing is I got news. Because whether you are a mature Christian or a spiritually immature Christian who keeps sinning or a sinner, God can still deliver you. Amen. God can still. God's grace is so good that, first of all, everybody in this room can attest to that. If that's your testimony, if you say it, you know that we're, you, what the Bible says, as such were some of you. Amen. But then God had pulled us out of that thing. So it's not enough to just say, hey, you're a sinner and your life is over. No, look here. I used to be that. Because of God's grace, he pulled me and snatched me up from that thing. Now I can stand with confidence and begin to preach his word and know that I'm standing on something that's sound, right? Because God has showed it in his life, in my life. And he showed the same thing in your lives. This is why God is good. This is why he is so good. It's because we recognize, I recognize that God can break every chain, everybody. Every chain, every yoke. What did it say? The anointing will destroy every yoke. Amen. I'm so glad that God can do it. I'm so glad when you look back over your own life, you start recognizing, oh my God, there's no way I could have got out of this thing except for God. Amen. Man, it was no real message that came to me. It was the guy. It was God. It was Jesus Christ. When I realized what he had done for me on Calvary, that's why I am where I am. That's why I can say what I can say. I can say it with confidence. And you ain't got to like it. And you ain't got to be converted. But I'm still going to get a message anyway. This is what God is doing with us. This is who he's doing. This is what he's doing. But now, we want to get to the heart of the matter. Verse 5. Verse 5. I need you to understand that sometimes, man, God has enough. You ever listen to somebody and they talk and you let them talk until you just can't let them talk no more? And then you got to just step up and say, man, look, I heard enough. Well, this is what God is doing to Jeremiah and those people. Jeremiah went to him with all the complaints. God said, hey, look, hold up, man, let me throw something at you real quick. He says, if you have race with footmen or with men on foot, or what we like to call them foot soldiers, and they have wearied you, how will you be able to compete or contend with horses? Y'all see that? God is so tired of Jeremiah complaining that he had to speak. God is saying, you all are complaining about foot soldiers. Let me tell you about foot soldiers or footmen. I like to call them foot soldiers because that's what other translations refer to them as. Now, these footmen refer to nations whose military setting was infantry. Nations like Egypt and the Edomites, their armies were mainly infantry. I need you to understand that foot soldiers, everybody, they wasn't the strongest of the individuals. They wasn't the fastest. They wasn't the best equipped of all the soldiers. It was just a whole lot of them. And so when they were going to battle, their responsibility was to attack the people just to kind of thin out the army, so to speak. They weren't really trying there to overwhelm them. They were just there to maybe, in essence, kind of thin them out, you know. And here's the deal. God is trying to say that if the footmen are a problem, then what are you going to do when the real issues begin to come? He's saying that these footmen, these things are you complaining about, these are light, momentary issues that you need to understand that you are dealing with. You know what I'm saying? The God is saying, look here, this stuff that you're dealing with right now, it isn't that it's insignificant, but it's nothing in comparison to what I'm getting ready to send you. Amen? So when your bills are due, guess what? Those are nothing but foot soldiers, everybody. When my car wasn't running, that ain't nothing but a foot soldier. When you have relationship issues, that's nothing but a foot soldier. When you don't understand how you're going to get your daycare situation together, that's a foot soldier. When your appliances go down and you don't know what you're going to do, that's your foot soldier. You understand what I mean? And all these little things that are insignificant in our lives, and see, these are foot soldiers. God is saying, look here, and what we need to understand is these foot soldiers are preparing us for something even greater. The foot soldier is the thing that God is putting in our lives and saying, man, look here, if you can't deal with this, how in the world are you going to deal when this comes? You need to understand that foot soldiers are a precursor to the horses because the horses are getting ready to come. And if you're spending all your time trying to figure out how you're going to get past this, How in the world are you going to handle this thing over here that God is getting ready to do? Are you all with me? This is good. This is, we got to get to that place of stop complaining. If you're misunderstood, that's a foot soldier. Don't have an opportunity to speak when you want to. Foot soldiers. Whatever you got going on, your pain in your body, foot soldiers. That's what God is telling us. These are foot soldiers. But one thing that I love, everybody, is that God is indicating to us that not only are he calling our issues foot soldiers, but that foot soldiers suggest that we are headed in the right direction. When you really think about it, if the enemy isn't trying to take you any place that he ain't trying to go. So God is trying to send us over there, the enemy trying to pull us over there. If God is pulling us over here, then guess what? This is of God. God is allowing these things to happen in our lives so that other people can see and that he can get the glory. When I stop complaining to everybody about what I got going on in my job and just go and do my job, I got to trust God and wait on him. Now I can go to my job and say all the right things. I can say, well, you know, I'm talking to Donna. I'm not really complaining. I'm just venting. No, I'm complaining because I want my situation to be better than what it should be. I should be further along in life where I am right now. I should be married by now, but that ain't the case. I should have a better job, but that ain't the case. I should be making more money, but that ain't the case. Now here it is, this person over here don't even love you, and yet they got everything. Foot soldiers. Foot soldiers. But I've learned, everybody, when I deal with foot soldiers, when I'm dealing with foot soldiers, that's when I begin to shout and thank God. Because apparently I'm doing something right. Every time God sends a foot soldier in my life, I had to begin to thank God and praise God. Why? Because something big is about to happen. I don't know about you all. I've been in ministry for quite some time now. And it seems like every time God is getting ready to have a significant move in my life, if there's going to be a significant shift in my life, it seems like all hell breaks loose. Every time that God is getting ready to place me over here, guess what? All hell breaks loose. And I had to realize those were just foot soldiers. Why? Because God was preparing me for the thing that he was getting ready to send. If I didn't go through these foot soldiers over here, there's no way I'll be ready for these horses that's getting ready to come. I need you all to run with the horses. I need for us to be in a position to run with these horses. Now, after the foot soldiers will come, then the powerful reinforcements will come on horses. So now you're talking about, it's not just the footmen anymore. Now you're talking about the men that's riding the big horses and the chariots. They're coming, y'all. They're coming. God is saying, look, if you're not able to deal with what you're dealing with, what's going to happen when the Babylonian army start coming? See, right now you was only dealing with the Edomites. They were kind of small, you know. Yeah, they were army, but it wasn't like the other army. You understand what I'm saying? But now a big army getting ready to come. What are you going to do? You're going to cry, continue to complain, or are you going to contend with these horses? This is what God is saying to us. This is what God is saying. The reality is simply this. Man, this is real good. The devil is always going to try to get you to quit by sending these foot soldiers. A God will allow these foot soldiers to manifest because God is trying to show you that you need to be prepared for what's getting ready to come. God can't give you this if you can't even handle that. Amen? Wow, this is good. I look at these horses, everybody. Man, they're strong. Horses are fast. It don't matter if it's hot or if it's cold. It don't even matter. But I know one thing. A man cannot contend with a horse. You all remember when the Cardinals won the World Series? I went downtown and, you know, they had all these festivities and stuff going on, but they had these men that were on these horses. And I just said, hey, man, are these horses for attraction to let the little kids ride? He said, no, this ain't no pony ride. I said, well, what is it for? He said, hey, you know, we have these horses here because it controls the people. I said, wow. So when you think about what God is asking, it kind of doesn't make sense. God wants us to be able to contend with something that we are not qualified to contend with. Am I making sense? That went over your head. God is saying to you, Perry, look here. I know that you got this house that's a Brady Bunch house. I know that you want to buy a home because right now your mortgage is costing more. Your rent will cost more than a mortgage will possibly cost you. But I need you to understand that I'm getting ready to send a horse. I need you to understand that, guess what? And I don't know if you all knew this, but I was able to buy that home without me even having a job. Why? Because those were foot soldiers. God was preparing me already. God is putting me in a position where in the natural, there is no man that you know that can stand beside a horse and race with them and win and contend and compete with them. But see, you need to understand what God is trying to do is get you to see the supernatural in what he's trying to do. God, there's no way. Who in here right now is going to go and buy a home and they ain't even got no job, no money, no income? But see, when you serve a God that I serve, he can do those kinds of things. He can set you free. He can give you a car that will last until it just won't run no more. When I say, Lord, I'm going to drive this until the wheels fall off, guess what? A wheel fell off and I was able to put another one back on it. And the engine fell off. I was able to get that fixed. I rode it till it couldn't be ridden anymore. Because why? Those were just foot soldiers for something that God was getting ready to do later on in my life. God is telling you, man, I'm getting ready to prepare you to do something that you're not qualified to do for yourself. All of you that's coming in ministry, guess what? You can't do that because you have the power, the ability, and authority to do it. You're doing it because God has equipped you to do it. There's no way you can do anything with the power of your own ability. Your own ability won't allow you to do any of those things. You have to rely on God. The same power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that is given to you. God is asking a question that really doesn't even make sense. But he has an expectation that we begin to contend with the horses. That's what God wants us to do. And so we can sit back and continue to complain about why this ain't happening and why that ain't happening and why my life should be further along and why I got this going on. Instead, we should just sit back and say, you know what? Bring it on. Bring it on, because guess what? I'm getting ready to compete with the horses. I'm getting ready to run with the horses. Lord, I know I can't do it in myself, so you're going to have to give me the supernatural ability that only comes from you to allow me to do the things that I know I can't do for myself. That's the kind of God that we serve, everybody. When I can't figure this thing out myself, that's why the Bible says don't lean on your own understanding. Somebody said the other day, with man it's impossible, but with God what? All things are possible. There's no way I should have purchased that house. I'm not glorifying the home because we would have been homeless. We didn't have any place to go, but it didn't make sense to continue to give money to a place that we know wasn't long-term for us. Did I tell you all that my mortgage is cheaper than my rent was? Did I tell you now I got a better job than I had before? Did I tell you last week that God can restore? And he don't put you back in the place that you were in. He puts you in a place that's greater than you were before. That's the God that we serve. I'm going to stop complaining. I may talk to you for a little while. I may say some things. But if I start complaining, you need to tell me, hey, man, you start contending. You need to start contending. The Bible tells us, the Bible tells us to contend for the faith. How can I bring anybody to Christ if they always see me down, head down, man, what was me, kicking the rocks and everything? No. How am I going to get anybody to Christ if they can't see the power of God moving in my life? Why would they want to sign up for that? This is what I'm talking about. I'm ready to run with the horses. God has an expectation that we run with the horses. God is good, everybody. God is a good guy. As I close, I just want us to be at a place where we stop complaining about these foot soldiers. When you identify what the foot soldiers are in your life, you're going to learn how to stop complaining about them. Why? Because you know God is getting ready to do something far greater anyway. So as you stop complaining about the foot soldiers, you need to start contending with the horses. Why? Because the horses are definitely coming. May the church say amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today. We thank you that you're teaching us, first and foremost, how to stop complaining about our situation. You're teaching us not to covet what other people have. You're teaching us that although these trials, these light momentary afflictions are there, oh God, that you give us grace, oh God, to be able to move forward, oh God. I'm asking that every person in this room who has any issue that they're dealing with, some of which we know and some that we don't know, oh God, you help them. Come alongside them right now in Jesus' name. Don't give them, cause them that if they have a spirit of Jeremiah to want to complain, oh God, because of the hardships that are experienced, oh God. Ministry is hard, oh God. I'm asking that you give us relief and reprieve, oh God, from the things that that we have to endeavor daily, oh God. It doesn't feel good to be rejected by your own people. It doesn't feel good, oh God, to have to experience things. It doesn't feel good to have to wonder and guess and try to figure out in our own accord, oh God, how you're going to move things and work things out, oh God. But we are so confident, oh God, and I don't know why we even question you, God, because we've been here long enough to see your work in action, oh God. We've seen you move so many times, oh Heavenly Father, and because you've moved multiple occasions, oh God, I don't know why we tend to want to even question or think that somehow you're incapable or not willing to do what it is that you and only you can do. And so I'm asking that you put in us a spirit of not complaining, oh God. Give us an opportunity to just come to you for things, oh Heavenly Father. Meet the needs of the people right now. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take a few moments to reflect.